always things that are going to happen, such as a piece of equipment breaks down, and so you have maintenance. So when we start out working with somebody, we generally have a few more things pop up that either we don't know about or the cash hasn't been accrued for to pay for it yet. So starting out, we have a few more surprises, but after we get going, we do track it month by month.
Hello and welcome to the Gross Profit Podcast. My name is James Kennedy. I'm the CEO and co-founder at ProcurementExpress.com. We take the hassle out of managing your company spend with magical features, but we're not here to talk about that today because we've got Sarah Philibaum from BuildYourBooks.com. And Sarah, I want to just kick things off with a little bit of an unusual question, which is tell us something about you that most people don't know.
Most people don't know. Let's see. I have lived in 8 states in the United States. So that's
very good.
I'm pretty familiar.
That's a lot. Okay. So I won't ask why you weren't on the run or something. So we'll, I'm afraid of the answer now. So should have asked the wrong question. Okay. Okay, great. So listen, I'm very excited about the conversation today because my dad is a lawyer. But he secretly wanted to be a farmer. And I think I'm a programmer, but I think I secretly wanted to be a barista. And I don't know whether that's right or not, but you're going to help me figure it out by the end of this interview. So before we get stuck into that, we're going to talk about the business of running a coffee shop. And the particular inspiration for this interview was there's a famous YouTuber called James Hoffman, of whom I have watched way too many videos. And he is a British guy, very suave, well-spoken individual, and he does thousands of hours on video on coffee shop businesses and all different types, and he does particular Q&A that Sarah and I have gone through, and it's a little bit old now. It's about 4 years old, and we're going to use it as some of the basis for discussing whether a coffee shop business is a good one, a good financial move. And we're going to talk about some of Sarah's experience because she has many clients in that area. So before we get into that, Sarah, maybe tell us a bit more about where you are in the world and a little bit about Build Your Books so we can set the scene.
Yeah, thank you. Yes, my name is Sarah Philibaum. I started Build Your Books, and we are a bookkeeping and fractional CFO firm. We're based in Denver, Colorado, which is just west of central United States. And we work with clients all across the United States. So we have clients and employees from east to west coast, north to south. So we're all over and ready to help.
Yeah, that internet is fantastic. So that's great. So you've built a virtual business by the sounds of it. How many years have you been on the go now, and roughly how many clients do you have?
Yeah. So we work with about 30 clients right now. We work very closely with those clients, and we're working to make sure that their cash flow is in order, their inventory, and obviously their bookkeeping makes sense because you can't do much forward looking without having correct books. We are all over. Okay. I have not moved in quite a while, but I've overall lived in a bunch of places, and that's given me a unique perspective into just different regional norms. And so that's been really fun to work with people from different locations all over.
So you're not the only person that you've lived in 8 states, and you're not the only person I know who's ended up in Denver. What made you pick Denver? Was it the lifestyle, the clean air, something else?
Well, so in 2010-ish, that there was the real estate bubble that was happening in the U.S. and elsewhere as well. And so I had taken a job, and it was based in Denver, and we loved it. Absolutely love the lifestyle, loved the clean air, love the mountains, love the outdoor activities, and we never left. So we've been here since 2010, and no plans to go anywhere else other than vacation.
Very good. Okay. So let's have a little chat about this. So you've got experience with clients who are working in the retail and coffee industry. And before I figure out whether by the end of this, I want to know whether my retirement business should be a coffee shop or not. So, but let me, maybe you can just give me a an overview of what you commonly see when it comes to this SMB coffee shop setup? What are the common highs and lows?
Yeah, some of the common issues that come up are the cost of inventory, cost rising, which is across the board for everyone. But then you also have clients who are not a little bit willing to eat those costs as well. And so rent is a gigantic one in the cost of the beans, the coffee itself, and then the equipment. So the equipment is certainly increased, and then maintaining that equipment as well. Those are all really larger capital costs that need to be addressed. And so starting, if you're starting from scratch, your capital costs can be quite high when starting that at a physical, which obviously a coffee shop is a physical location. It's not an online service base. So you have all of those costs that across the board, whether it's expanding into new locations or just starting out, those are items that are really big front and center for business owners to be considering.
Sure. And when you're starting out first, just getting the loans together for that stuff, or for, you know, getting raising money from friends and family, I guess. I mean, this isn't the type of business you can raise professional money from. You just have to kind of scrape it together yourself. Would you say that's true?
A lot of the time it is. You know, it kind of depends on where you're at and what your personal history has been. You may be able to get some commercial loans. The Small Business Administration has a lot of loans available for companies starting out. So that's where I direct people if they're starting out or if they don't already have an SBA loan, because the rates are going to be the most favorable there in general. Other opportunities, like you said, is fundraising and gathering the money from friends, colleagues, crowdfunding, that sort of thing. That's another source. Another one is once established, if you're looking to extend to new locations or need to raise funds for something, there are also short-term accounts receivable loans. So we'll talk a little bit more about that because that's where this particular use case got in a little bit of trouble. But there are options out there. If you're established, your options are a bit better. But starting out, SBA is your best bet.
Okay, so when people are starting out, there's this term, you sort of build a parachute on your way out of the airplane, and you know, you've got lots to worry about, and probably perfect accounting isn't top of your mind when you're just wondering whether you can, you know, get your loan at all or get your location, and then you've got all the building the thing, and then you wonder if anyone's going to show up and everything. So what are the things that you've seen most get overlooked, or people don't obviously think? Because I would say, well, I know what an invoice is. I just got to get my invoices out. I got to pay my bills. You know, I work out of my bank account. That should be good enough. But what else should I be thinking about when I start out this mythical business I'm going to start?
Yeah. So when people start out, they're definitely most interested in getting the setup for taking payments and making payments. So whether that's Square, Stripe, or another system for using that, they'll set that up. And so the money is just going into the bank account. From an accounting standpoint, if we're not also accounting for any loans that are in process and any inventory that you have on hand, we can't just live our lives, like you said, trying to open the parachute at the last minute, where we want to get ahead of that so that you're not stuck in a cash flow issue. I had a client who we took them on, and they only went to the tax accountant once a year. And then the tax accountant would file extensions, and then they wouldn't get financials for last year until 9 months later. And so nothing was relevant. So when they would get their financials, it didn't help them with anything really other than filing taxes. And so you don't want to be in that decision. You want to be able to look at your financials and have a discussion and make decisions based on that information, not just constantly be working in arrears and not really know where you're at any given time.
Well, let's be honest, like a lot of businesses are run on that basis. Earlier in my career, I definitely was. I was like, just keep me out of jail, please. That's really what I'm worried about. And anything other than that just seems like, and it gets so confusing with the terms involved, if you're not used to those terms, and then, you know, even the tax deadlines can be confusing. You got a deadline, but then you get an extension. So what's the real deadline? And then you're not even sure which year you're paying your tax for anymore. And it is overwhelming, right? So
it is a lot. It's a lot of information.
And finding the right accountant to work with, I feel like, would you say it's fair to say that some accountancy firms or tax firms specifically are happy to let that happen? Like they are just like, okay, let's just keep you out of jail. That's what you're paying me for. I'm not really getting paid for anything else.
Yeah, absolutely. I look at tax firms as backward thinking and CFO services as forward thinking. So where your mindset is and where you are in your business, we're more forward thinking. And we'll take care of the taxes as well.
Yeah, yeah. I go a bit further and say possibly even morticians. They, you know, they show up at the end, put a bow on things, tell you actually went out of business 6 months ago, but you never knew it, you know, because there was something in the bank. You mentioned a couple of things in particular that people miss, pitfalls, or if you like, that people see when it comes to the balance sheet and other items that people aren't aware of that they got to do. And it's very easy to overlook because like that tax accountant isn't necessarily going to tell you about it. So what are those?
Yeah. So most people are interested in the money coming in the bank and going out of the bank. And then where it gets put on the financials is kind of up to the tax accountant or the bookkeeper or the CFO or whoever is helping you with all of that. Well, let me specifically talk about short-term accounts receivable loans. These are loans that were taken from your payment processor. And so that money never hits the bank and it never leaves the bank. And so it hits the account before it hits your payment processor before it ever hits your bank account. And so that's one that is often overlooked. So your debt doesn't show on your balance sheet. You're not really showing that, but also that can be a cash flow killer. So you know you're making sales, but that money is not necessarily in the bank. And so that's a big area for companies such as coffee shops that are utilizing processors that have those loans available.
So explain that to me a bit further. I'm familiar with like fees on credit card processing fees, and I get the net from my credit card processor. But how does an accounts receivable loan? Do they give me money up front and then just take it out before I even see it?
Yeah, exactly. That's exactly right. So if you have a history, let's say you have a history of $5,000 coming in a day, $5,000 in sales, you do have your processing fees, but then they will say, hey, I'm going to lend you a certain dollar amount of money and it will be in your bank account tomorrow. So they're very easy, which is one thing that's very attractive. There's not paperwork, they're quick. It can be, you know, just very simple. But what they'll do is they will take a certain percentage of your sales. So on 5,000, they may take anywhere between 10 to 20% of your sales to pay down that loan each day. So instead of having 5,000, they may take 1,000 as a payment. So your cash flow is immediately depleted to 4,000 a day. And so that's where it can get a little sticky and you need to keep track of how much cash is actually going towards those debt payments because they are all short term. I don't know of a single one of those that would be over a year in length.
And why do people take those loans? Is it to upgrade the premises or buy a new piece of equipment or?
Yeah, it could be for any reason. The most common that I see are to, you know, we had some equipment breakdown and we need the cash quickly to fix or replace it in order to stay in business. And that's viable if we haven't planned for that maintenance fund, then that can make sense to go ahead and do it that way. Other cases are if you are wanting to open a new location or if you have had some sort of catastrophe and you want to put a new sign out or your current sign was damaged. I see it for any of those reasons as well. Locations can be a big one because you're, you know, almost the same as starting a new business. Your capital outflow is really high. You have your rent, your down payments, your equipment, your advertising. You have all of those things that need to be funded. And those short-term loans can be a way to do it.
Right. Okay. But they're tricky because 10 to 15% sounds like the net profit of that entire business could be like right off the top of everything.
So quickly.
Okay.
Yeah. So if your cash isn't there to pay for it, then, you know, that can snowball, and then you take another loan, and then it's one after another, and then you've gotten yourself in a pickle.
Right. So I guess the warning signs are what? You're suddenly, you're working hard, the shop is full, everyone's running around, but your checks are bouncing. Like, I mean, is that the first thing you'll notice? Because
yeah, it's probably one of the first things you'll notice. So we had a client that we brought on and cleaned everything up, and I noticed that they were having $1,000 in bounced check fees every month. And that's significant. That's a large number. They were uncomfortable having the money in the bank for payroll. And it was because of a case like this, these short-term loans. And so when we dug in, we found that they were taking loans out. And as soon as one was almost paid off or paid off, they would do it again to catch up on the cash flow. But then that again didn't allow the cash to come in to build the cash flow back up. So it just became a cycle that became a real issue. And even though the company was profitable, the operations, the sales were in place, all the operating expenses, your payroll, inventory, rent, all your occupancy costs, all of that was actually very positive. It was after the fact, when they needed to make the payments on the loans, that was becoming the issue for making the payments out of the bank account, where there wasn't enough to pay the operations. So that could just, that's an issue that we want to get ahead of immediately.
Right. Okay. So, and this is a kind of an, like you say, if you're just looking at the bank account, it's an invisible cost. Really, that should have been appearing where, like on the balance sheet then, this debt, or how?
Yeah.
By the time you had finished with them, how did their accounts look different?
Yeah, very different. So when we took their books and we cleaned all of that up and started tracking for that appropriately, again, they don't see the money go in and out of the bank account. And so that can be the tricky part of it, but we're accounting for it. So when we look at the income statement looks very positive, but the business owner may think, hey, gosh, I'm not really not doing very well because I don't have the money in the bank. Well, when we look at the balance sheet and everything is located where it should be, and we see the loans and we see how much is being paid on loans each month, we saw that there was a deficit in cash each month, even though the profitability was really good for the client, just operations. So getting that debt under control was the very first thing that we needed to do. So in this particular case, there were several short-term loans, and I took a look at it and I said, hey, business owner, if you were able to take a different kind of loan that was 3 years, I'm not even interested in interest rates, honestly. What we need is longevity. We were able to save $15,000 a month in cash flow. So that was huge. That was absolutely huge and life-changing.
And was it, I guess, just with the clarity of having the books done, this was something, I guess they knew this, they knew they had a loan and they knew they were getting bounced check fees, but they weren't able to see the whole picture. Or it's just
correct. Yeah. And that's where we come in. So we normally are working on one big issue at a time. Like that was a big issue that needed to be resolved before we were able to dive in and look at other items. So from a big picture standpoint, he didn't have the financials in place before we came on board to even see that. So if you looked at his financials, that wouldn't have been clear to him. So just having a good conversation and taking those, I don't know if blinders is the right term, but just offering some clarity to that situation was a really big thing to do. So we talked about how to get the cash into the correct account and how to plan and get ahead and have the money in the account for payroll and stuff like that. So that was the first step. And then after that's resolved, then you can move on and say, okay, we're your multi-location business and you're interested in seeing how each location is doing. Okay, now we can dive into that and we can see what makes sense, what's working and what's not working. See if you want to expand or make some changes to some current stores.
So when I go to a cocktail party, sometimes people ask me what I do, and I dread it, to be honest, because I make purchase order software, right? So how am I going to spend that? So instead of saying I run, make purchase order software, I now say, well, I send thousands of people home 10 minutes early each day, you know, which is what the benefit of what we do. And I like to think it out. I like to think, oh, okay, cool. So what was the payoff for the family of this owner? Or what was the real, you know, we talked about the numbers, but what was the change in their lives you were able to affect?
Yeah. If you can imagine being under that kind of stress and not knowing if your if your payments to vendors or employees are going to clear, you don't sleep very well in a situation like that. So that was immediate. The owner was able to start sleeping well at night. His family made comments that, you know, I don't even know who this company is, but I'm so glad that they're helping you because you're a more pleasant person to be around. You know, and I think that also tracks, that makes sense. And, you know, just from a day-to-day standpoint, your vendors and employees have more confidence in you. You have more confidence in yourself. You're able to make decisions instead of just put out fires. It changes a person's life to have a service like that, that you know the money's going to be there because you've made some good decisions.
All right, good. All right. So if you're a small business owner, maybe you don't need a therapist. Maybe you need to call Sarah.
Yeah,
maybe
she can, yeah, the financial therapist, right?
Yeah. Okay. Okay, cool. That's a really nice story. So let's get on a little bit. I feel bad about this. I made you watch this video from this YouTube video about, you know, coffee business, this guy, James Hoffman, and we're going to do a bit of a reaction to what he said, because I have a bit of a fantasy about someday setting up a coffee shop here in my local town, you know, my kind of retirement business or whatever. But first up, do you think it would make a good lifestyle retirement business for me, or is all this real world stuff too stressful?
I think it's a lot more work than maybe having a lifestyle. If you purchase an already existing one and you can, you know, be the be the owner who pops in a couple times a day and you have an operations person to run it, then I say go for it. But if you're just wanting to start it out as a retirement lifestyle, that's probably a lot more work than you want in your retirement.
Okay, I'll bear that in mind. And then one of the things he references in the business is the, you know, this was done 4 years ago, but automation was starting to become a bit of a more of a feature, where staff costs are huge in this business. So I guess at that stage, the idea was automation could take some of that cost away. So have you seen that trend play out?
A little bit. He references in his videos, possibly machines or some of the equipment taking away some of that work. I don't think we've seen too much of that, but other places where we have seen automation really start to help out is in inventory controls and purchasing, such as, you know, your software. So things like that, having the automation of payments and processes, I think that's where some of the back end labor has been saved. But I think there's still, for specialty coffee, I think there's still that touch of the barista creating the coffee. I don't think that's going away totally.
Yeah, it's not going to be the same if you're just pressing buttons. I could do that at home. Yeah, so you want your local friendly coffee. So not so much on the machinery side, but more like on the software side, it sounds like. But our inventory, do they allow you to scan the items, come in, and then it's all linked?
Yeah, I think the management of it is definitely improved as well. Just like you said, you scan it in and then it will go into the inventory system so that we have a better idea of what that looks like and what the inventory levels are. So when ordering needs to happen, there's some automation certainly surrounding that that helps people not have to go and check and count the same way.
Right. And I would be afraid of the rent in this type of business, because effectively, if you are successful, you know, that my landlord could just turn around and set whatever rent he wanted, right? So what sort of strategies would you recommend for, like, guarding against that or making sure that it, you know, you're in control of your own destiny on that front?
Yeah. So for our clients, we like to build in kind of an inflation rent in the budgeting. So we believe that after the lease is done, the rent is going to increase by X percentage. And that can vary greatly depending on location. Are you in a suburban or a metro or more of a country setting, that changes pretty significantly. But generally, coffee shops are in a high traffic area. So whether that is walking traffic or driving traffic, those are more desirable areas for physical locations. And so there's likely to be rent increases. But being prepared for it is a great way to do it. Another thing that we try and do is have longer term leases. So if you have somebody starting out, maybe a longer term lease isn't attractive. But if you are an established coffee shop and you've already established yourself in the neighborhood, if you can have the lease term be maybe 3 to 5 years, some may require even longer, depending. That can lock in the price, lock in what your rent is going to be. And so that can be very favorable to both parties because that's attractive to landlords as well.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. All right. I think it'll be a bit stressful in my retirement. Maybe I try and find a building. Maybe you need to own the building to really figure out what's going on there.
That's true. Yeah. You could do that.
Yeah. Okay. All right. So listen, cash flow is king, like they say. But one last question before I get on to, because you have a resource here for people to help manage with their cash flow, is when you're doing these budgeting for these coffee shops, how reliable is that budget? Like, does it tend to play out as you're hoping for, or is it a business where it's a lot more volatile than you might hope?
Well, there's always things that are going to happen, such as a piece of equipment breaks down, and so you have maintenance. So when we start out working with somebody, we generally have a few more things pop up that either we don't know about or hasn't been, the cash hasn't been accrued for to pay for it yet. So starting out, we have a few more surprises. But after we get going, we do track it month by month. So if we are creating a budget for a business, we'll go through all the different categories and say, hey, are we going to be having this on a regular basis? And where are the areas that might need some tweaking? Inventory is certainly one of them. Sometimes labor costs are another, stuff like that. We'll try to account for them as best we can, and then we learn from it, right? It's a learning. It's a moving target. It's never an exact bullseye.
Okay, all right. Well, unlike software businesses where you don't know if any of the software is going to be around in 3 years with AI and everything, I guess people will always be drinking coffee, so There's that. So you have a resource for the listeners that is a reward only for those who have got this far into the podcast. So congratulations, you're about to unlock that. Maybe you could tell us a little bit about what it is and how they can use it.
Yeah. So we have a cash flow spreadsheet that you can fill in. There's some instructions on the first page. And this can help you if you know you're making sales and you know you're paying your bills, but where's the money? Is it in the bank or is it not? And you really want to keep track of where that is. This is a resource that can really help you with it. So I'm not asking on this spreadsheet, we're not asking for every nitty gritty item. We just want your overall sales and your overall inventory. So it's pretty simple to plug and play, but you need to factor in things like paying yourself as an owner, paying any loans that you might have, that sort of thing. And there's places for that on this spreadsheet. And then at the bottom of the sheet, it's going to tell you, hey, based on the information, you know, your cash is positive. You went up this month or this time period, where whatever you input is your time period, or is that negative? Do you need to make some tweaks? So that's it's a pretty simple resource that can just really help people see where their cash is going.
Okay. So if you're in that situation where you're just still using a tax professional to keep you out of jail every year, this at least can give you a good start, a ready reckoner.
It'll give you a good start. Exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah. Cool. Awesome. Yeah. All right, Sarah, this has been very cool. So my last question, I have a rinky dink question I ask everyone here, which is, who's your business hero and why?
All right. My business hero. I would say my uncle is my business hero. Like your dad's dream is to be a farmer. Who knows? And my uncle grew up a farmer and now he works exclusively with farmers. And so he has an agronomy business where he tests soil and tells people what to plant and what needs to be done. And I don't know anything about that, so don't ask me for any details there, but he has a green thumb like no other. He started his business from scratch, working with farmers and just helping them on that consulting side. And he has done that for, gosh, it's probably been 20 years now. And he just treats everyone with kindness and he does well. And yeah, I really look up to him. He's, I don't know that he would agree, but I think he's a wise business owner and a good person.
There's a lot to be said for picking customers you really like. I think that's a big thing that a lot of people overlook, is that they're thinking, well, how can I make money or how can I do whatever? But then you're going to be spending most of your time with these people. So think carefully about like who, if you, your uncle obviously likes farmers, I'm guessing, because he gets it. Sounds kind of idyllic floating around, you know, rolling up on farms and chatting with people and, you know, doing the, it sounds kind of a nice office lifestyle to me, if you like. I love that. And do you think your uncle inspired you to start your own business in some way? Do you feel like you've got some of the same genetics and that gave you the guts to step out by yourself?
I think a bit. Yeah, I would say so. He's very encouraging and I'm certainly able to ask him any questions and I just value his advice. And so that's been amazing. It's been amazing to have him as a resource and just a bonus that he's an uncle.
Very nice. And have you ever told him that he is your business hero?
I don't know if I've used those terms, but in a roundabout way, yeah. I'll tell him after that today.
He knows about it. Now I've given you a good excuse.
He knows he's my hero.
he's got the title. We give him the title of business hero. Okay, gross profit business hero. There we are, of the week. All right. This is fun, Sarah. Thank you very much for indulging me on this. I know you did me a favor by talking about these coffee shops, and although you have the experience and certainly qualified to do it, but I know I kind of commandeered the topic, but I enjoyed talking about it with you. And I think it really showed, you know, that if you're maybe thinking about running a coffee shop and you're listening to this, Sarah is someone you should maybe reach out to. She can make sure she's seen it, been there, help your budget get in the right place, know where the pitfalls are. So I hope you consider reaching out to Sarah at buildyourbooks.com. I should also mention that we will have a link to the template that we have talked about here in the YouTube comments, and I presume we can get it on the website as well. And finally, if you are a fractional CFO and you're interested in finding out more about Procurement Express and how it works and how you could help use it to deploy budgets with your customers, you can go to procurementexpress.com/partners, and I've got a little webinar for you there to give you all the details. Sarah, you've been a star. Thank you very much for doing this.
Thank you.